wasn't until 1949 that the job was done. Now, this may seem surprising that it takes so long. Well, it's like a lot of things. You don't know whether it's going to work out or not, and you don't work, perhaps, don't work as hard on it as you might. And Harvey was interested in taking a lot of courses because there were a lot of things that he hadn't learned as a medical student and could learn now. And we didn't have an electrophoresis apparatus, and I got one of the graduate students working with me to, I think he had become a postdoctoral fellow, to start building an electrophoresis apparatus. His wife was our stockroom keeper, and somebody asked for some ethyl chlorocarbonate, and she went to the vault to get this and open the bottle, and it squirted out over her. It's like phosgene in its action on the lungs, and she died in a few hours. And this upset her husband greatly, and it was a longer period before we had the electrophoresis apparatus. And the one we had designed wouldn't work with colored substances, so there was the problem of adapting it after it got built so that it worked with hemoglobin. And in the meantime, Harvey Itano was determining the various properties of hemoglobin from these two sources, and they came out the same. He measured oxygen equilibrium curves and other oxygen and some other properties, and kept getting the same results. But finally, by this time, John Singer and Ibert C. Wells were cooperating with him, and finally the electrophoresis experiments were carried out, and it was evident that sickle cell anemia had about a 2 electron difference in electric charge from normal hemoglobin.